Have you ever visited with a friend or a family member who went completely out of their way to make you feel welcome? You went for a meal and they knew you needed the low salt food for your diet, or you were allergic to strawberries. They knew you were shying away from red meat over time, or that dairy just made you sick. The food they served was made with love, and specifically, love for who you were. They made sure there was a place for you to rest if you'd driven quite a while, or music if you enjoyed it, no music if that wasn't your thing. Restrooms offered as kindness and comfort. Have you ever received that kind of radical hospitality that really makes you feel loved? It makes you feel cared for, gives you insight into God's specific love for who you are. Not tolerated for your differences, but loved individually. Last week we celebrated with Abraham and Sarah as they welcomed those heavenly visitors, bringing the news that there was going to be the birth of a baby, Sarah's baby, even in her old age. We often end the story right there. But the visitors didn't leave after giving that kind of good news. They had some work yet to do. They traveled from Abraham and Sarah's place to overlook the city of Sodom and enter in. Abraham's nephew, we heard this read, Lot, was prepared to give that kind of hospitality. The kind of hospitality that you and I could say, wow, I really felt loved. Those visitors who had been at his uncle's house were now coming to see him. And he urges them to come in and to stay, prepares a feast for them, makes sure they have a place to sleep and to wash. Lot's heart of hospitality offers the best to these unknown strangers among them. Kind of wish the story ended right there. However, word gets out that there's some new folks in town and they're unusual and people aren't quite sure what to do. You see, the mob mentality takes over real quickly, and the gathering gang outside of Lot's house is not interested in offering the kind of hospitality Lot had prepared at his house. They wanted to make sure the visitors knew who was in charge in town. They needed to make sure that the power dynamic was maintained as these new folks came into town. I think this is the place where some of us decide to shy away from this chapter of Genesis altogether. Flip a couple of pages and we get the birth of Isaac and we can celebrate. But throughout the biblical narrative, we hear reminders of Genesis 19. In popular culture, many have decided that these verses have specific reference to human sexuality and should contribute to our larger understanding. A closer study of the text gives us even more. In Ezekiel and in Hebrews, in Luke and in Matthew, the biblical writers go out of their way to tell us that the sin we're talking about is about not offering to those who are poor and unfed, not having the kind of radical hospitality Lot had offered in contrast to these visitors. The biblical writers want us to know that the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah that we hear referenced throughout the biblical narrative is this. Hospitality is a great value in the Middle Eastern culture of biblical times and today. The narrative that's recorded in Genesis is because it's a glaring exception, not because it's the standard way in which people are treated. Sodom is being judged for not holding up a commitment that they were called to live into. After the Exodus, it would sound like this. Welcome the stranger, because you yourselves were strangers in Egypt. Hebrews says it this way. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for some have entertained angels unaware. But hospitality was the last thing on the minds of those folks in Sodom. Perhaps we can get it. Culturally, more often than not, you and I find ourselves reacting and responding to what feels put upon us. There's an awful lot going on in the news. There's an awful lot going on in our own lives. And we sometimes feel like life is happening to us and not us setting purpose and following God. We have lots of theories and ideas about how other people should have reacted and responded differently. Probably not as much reflection about how we could have responded differently as well. In fact, I think most of us, if we were being as honest as the kids were here about being nervous, we might say, sometimes I lash out around those that I didn't mean to upset them. It just welled up in me in a way I couldn't articulate it very well. Life feels out of control sometimes. I think this is where the people of Sodom and Gomorrah found themselves, responding to strangers with vitriol and anger instead of openness and hospitality. So caught up, feeling attacked and enraged, that the response they gave was attack and rage. It's not a pretty chapter, my friends. With threats of gang rape and mob violence, the people of Sodom have clearly forgotten the radical call of welcoming travelers. The men with torches and anger who demand that the heavenly visitors submit to their hazing and their initiation processes is laden with all the things that you and I in polite company would prefer not to be talking about. It's Lot, even seeking to defend them, who offers his own children. Can you imagine? We'll talk about that another day. His own children to satisfy the mob violence. It's power and it's pride that became more important than caring for others. Ultimately, this episode ends with the people of Sodom being blinded by those heavenly visitors and the destruction of the city. We remember that part quite well. You see, the way we treat one another matters so deeply. Radical hospitality is at the core of who God's people have always been and who Jesus has called us into relationship in a specific way. I've been thinking about radical hospitality an awful lot since I was diagnosed with the celiac disease. I've thought a lot about the difference between toleration and hospitality. You see, I'm a person who loves to eat anything put in front of me. I like food quite a bit, particularly food made with love in a home kind of a setting. And I've been the recipient of great hospitality over lots of years of ministry. how embarrassed I've felt when I couldn't just say that kind of broad hospitality fits me now. How embarrassed I've had to be to say eating gluten actually makes me incredibly sick in the short term and damages my body in the long term, and I really wish that it wasn't the case. You see, here's the place where we talk about toleration and hospitality, just like in Sodom and Gomorrah. Some of us know well how to tolerate what's different. We know how to offer something on the side. We know how to feel inconvenienced and put upon. Others of us have incredible hearts of hospitality and want to include all at the table. I'm inspired by that kind of hospitality. In fact, I think it's one of the things that God's talking about. Sodom is the biblical narrative that calls us not to respond with our first reactions of anger and resentment, and not even to settle for toleration of those who we think are strangers, but to embrace with love strangers and unknown guests alike. Remember, Lot ended up entertaining angels unaware. The book of Hebrews tells us it's about mutual love. These are the blessings we gave our children this morning. There's a United Methodist clergywoman out in Illinois who's an artist, Suzanne Vinson, who designed these for us. What an important lesson we teach our children, that they are deeply loved. On this morning of baptism, we say it in a particular way. But how important to also say to our children, and so are they. The kids you don't like on the bus, they're loved too. The teacher who you think is just too hard-nosed altogether, that one is loved too. The principal who has unrealistic expectations of how children should be in the hallway, also loved. What an important gift of faith we give our children this morning to remind them that not only are they loved, but so are the other people that they come in contact with. So as our children return to school, as we baptize Max, as we remember our own baptismal vows, as the world around us seems to be turning up anger and aggravation, let us focus again on the most important commandment. Love God and love God's people like you love yourself. You see, my friends, you are loved, and so are they. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.